Welcome to Fails of the Week, episode 168. I'm 6DebMar. I'm joined by Nick.
Hello!
And we're here to review the top Veils of the Week. Nick, what was your favorite use of Veil of Discord in this week?
Oh. I thought this week we were going to do, like, we're going to branch out into other types of Veil. So, like, last night I just kind of walked around under the Veil of the Night. And that was, like, a nice experience. It was kind of chilly. But I had dressed properly. I was prepared. And then a lot of my friends I see are getting married. Just whenever I use the Facebook these days, it's mostly people I know getting married. I am of that age.
Like a wedding veil, I see. So before you came along and joined the show, we used to cover other types of veil. Like, for instance, we used to be, back when it was with dishonorable host Johnny, we used to talk about World of Warcraft sometimes, and we talk about Wintervale, the of course winter holiday from World of Warcraft,
of course.
When they first started doing previews for Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, we talked about the veil sleeves and veil mask outfit in that game.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I know there are lots of kinds of veils in this world. There's the veil between reality and madness that the old ones guard, protecting us from the terrible knowledge.
Of course.
And but Veil of Discord really was the one that really hit big. Really got us our first big hits. We were really popular on Reddit. And so that kind of is what we settled into. This week I saw someone use Veil of Discord in order to magnify the damage of a spell, and that was really cool.
Oh, so it didn't just do like the... It is a purple effect, right? That purple flash?
It is a purple effect, and sometimes people... I've seen people use it in order to detect, for example, a real player among a horde of illusions. That's a popular strat.
Oh, yeah, because it detects, yeah. So I did play a bit of Dota this week. I saw them use it on a golem camp. It was a Viper, I think. They didn't actually use their spells, right? They didn't use your Q, which would have done bonus magic damage. They just kind of made it a little purple for a moment. Mm. And that was kind of my favorite use of Veil of Discord. Just to, you know, the golems, they're going to die, right? So you want to show them a good time, you know, a dinner and a movie, and then kill them so they split into two.
That sounds all right.
Yeah. It was very respectful of the Viper.
Also, by the way, it is October 28th, 2018.
And I'm Chris Hansen. Slurk, why don't you you go have a seat over there? We have...
All right.
We have these IM logs here from you. StatsStealer69 says on October 27th...
Slark had his way with you.
Yes, we have that. And then a little bit later on, we have a... you're talking to our younger aquatic member, supposedly, here, that we were posing as. What did you say then?
The air's so thick, I'm choking on it.
And something about moving their body in a sort of rhythmic way, and then referring to the type, I guess another name for the not old.
I broke out!
You said wiggle wiggle, little fish, Slark. You typed that. You type that to an underage fish.
I don't remember any more Slark lines.
Take him away, Batrider. And that has been the true crime segment of Bottle Crow Reborn, a Dota 2 podcast where we talk about how true crime is a little bit of a weird genre on a podcast. And I'm Nixies.
It is somewhat strange.
It is surprisingly strange. What would the true crime of Dota be? Would it be to catch a predator? I feel like that fits. Did you ever listen to that?
Like the capital T, capital C. Yeah. I was going to be like, I think the true crime is whenever I try and do an accent. But,
yeah.
You know.
Hey.
Listen.
Rules are made to be broken.
Right. I have never experienced any true crime fiction.
Wait. True crime fiction?
Yeah, good point. Okay, any true crime
I don't know if you're being more deep
media.
Or if there's a misunderstanding.
No, I'm used to the phrase crime fiction. I'm used to the phrase true crime. My brain just kind of kept going.
I mean, that's very insightful of you, because true crime really is fiction. You know, it's not actually true. It's not about real life. It has to be played up. So it's really kind of
stranger than fiction.
Wow. Really. It really is, with Richard Dreyfuss and Will Ferrell, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Man, Richard Dreyfuss, what happened to him? Is he a bad guy now?
I don't know who that is.
Oh, my God. Have you seen What About Bob?
Yes, I have.
He's Dr. Leo Marvin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's literally the only thing I actually know him from, because for some reason I've watched that movie hundreds of times. It's a long story.
So, of course, that warranted an oh, my God.
Yes.
What if I hadn't seen What About Bob? What would my life be?
I mean, you'd be like most other people I ask, do you know that movie What About Bob? No. Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, that was Bill Murray?
I watch What About Bob in social studies. It's called social sciences these days, but social studies. My social studies teacher was like this, and it wasn't like, oh, I don't want to teach today. This was like a young, like really like learning is fun, like excited teacher, and was like, you're going to learn a lot from this movie and put on What About Bob. And at the end of it, I was like,
shitting.
I really didn't.
You're definitely.
No, I'm not.
Wait, this was in the Midwest?
Yes, this was in Southern Illinois.
Born and raised. What?
He's a good teacher, generally speaking. That was just an
odd
choice.
I mean, it sounds like
part.
A great move as the teacher, but maybe like a not educate. Was it about like, because in the movie, Bill Murray is kind of a hypochondriac for psychological illnesses or something.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. And, you know, Richard Dreyfuss is the doctor. And then Bob harasses Dr. Marvin and, like, stalks him on vacation. And it's a comedy. And it's about all the silly antics they go through.
And in the end, his family ends up liking Bob more than
him. Well, because Dr. Marvin tries to explode Bob with lots of black powder, and then Bob breaks free, and he puts all the black powder in Dr. Marvin's vacation house, and then it explodes because it's on a timer.
Oh, I forgot that part.
Yeah, there's a giant.
It's been a long time since I've seen it.
We should watch What About Bob together instead of playing Dota.
And then, like, record a podcast while watching What About Bob?
Yeah. Didn't you just start... you had some new Patreon thing, a new podcast.
Oh, is it anime?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, is it anime? Which I don't quite understand, but
So once upon a time, we were really strict about what was considered anime, right? Sorry for the side promo. But
I guess, right.
So it was like, okay, like Dragon Ball and like fucking, you know, like Sailor Moon, these are anime, but like anything made in the West is not anime, right?
Oh. Okay, I think I've heard that.
And then people started doing like Western shows that were more anime styled, and people started calling them Western anime. And then you got like computer generated shows that were called anime. And now there's like Thunderbolt Fantasy, which is a puppet show from Japan, but people call it anime.
It's a puppet
and
show.
So Thunderbolt Fantasy, yeah. So the definition of anime keeps expanding. And so is it anime? We aim to answer the question. Is a given experience, not even a piece of media, is a given experience an honorary anime or not? Or, as we discovered on our first episode, a dishonorary anime. The 2008 Hitman movie is anime in all the wrong ways, so it's a dishonorary anime.
I'm very confused, and I was just letting you talk as I watched 30 seconds of Thunderbolt Fantasy, Episode 1, Season 1. This looks like the little bit I know of Power Rangers. It looks like that. Like old Power Rangers. It's very strange.
Well, practical effects are a hell of a thing.
Yes, yes. It's very strange, these puppet things. Was Thunderbolt Fantasy anime?
We haven't checked that one out yet.
Oh, okay.
But people generally consider... Well, there's a large portion of population that consider it anime. So with Oops All Anime, we're opening the doors to continue to expand the definition. So like, if you want to find out if energy drinks are anime, if you want to find out if... punching yourself in the stomach is anime, you know, whatever you've got, haircuts.
That is, yeah, that's another really insightful pull. I mean, so I'm learning Japanese, right? And mm-hmm. in Japanese, you know some. And so there's a lot of borrowed words. A lot of it is from English. And then they lose their original English meaning, or it gets twisted, or it's the opposite. And so,
totally.
You know, Japanese people in school take a lot of years of English, but they're actually not very good at speaking English from just those years, at least. They have to do more studying because, you know, they have all these fake English words. And like anime, that is a shorting of the Japanese word animation. Because for some reason, they also love to shorten borrowed words. And so that's, I mm-hmm. think, the reason why it's called anime, animation. And but, you know, it's taking on a life of its own at this point. It doesn't necessarily mean something that was hand or computer drawn. And so, you know, you have to find out, is it indeed anime?
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's the constant question that...
you know, how does one get a thing onto, is it anime?
Well, you suggest it to us, okay. And then if you're a patron, we weigh your suggestion a little more heavily. And then it gets added to a poll, and our $5 or higher tier patrons get to vote.
I see. Well, and I'm going to go ahead
generally
and...
Generally, not a lot of votes, so...
Oh, go ahead. Okay, yeah. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put in a request here. I would like to know if the Mercedes-Benz E-Class sedan is anime. Your thoughts?
I can't make that distinction by myself. I would obviously need my co-host Jennifer Uncle. And we need to have a full at least 30 minutes experiencing the wonder of the Mercedes-Class E-Class sedan, mm-hmm. Which you could test drive now at a local Mercedes-Benz dealership. Mm-hmm. But... as just like, if I just like an initial knee-jerk response, mm-hmm. It definitely feels like it has like the sleek animation and pacing and definitely the power of a shonen anime.
Oh, definitely, because anime is known for its power. It has a lot of horsepower. You know, I was going to buy an anime instead of a car. I didn't want to splurge too much, so I ended up buying a car instead of an anime. But, I mean, it's a popular option these days.
Yeah,
they don't make a lot of manual animes, though. It's unfortunate. It's all automatic or CVT animes.
But I mean, if you look at like an example like Dragon Ball Super, right? Mm-hmm. I would say that that's the most intelligent anime of all time, welcoming a powerful new member to the dynasty. Wouldn't you?
I probably would. You know, there's just so much to think about when you're searching for both an anime or a car interchangeably. I mean, do you need anime wheel drive? Do you need four-wheel anime drive? It's really hard. We should probably start a different podcast on that. Just like
what about some active shipping assist?
Oh, very nice. Yeah, there's a lot of different
help you
features.
Figure out what boys to hook up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What goes where? Yeah, we should start a car improvement podcast where we talk about, you know, searching for a car anime. Because this week, instead of when I wasn't playing Dota, I've been watching videos on construction, I guess. So today I watched on how to form, well, how to grade, form, and then pour and demolish the forms for a concrete wall. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting. So I figured out. Well, I watched, I don't even remember his name now, some older gentleman who was, you know, pouring a concrete wall. It was interesting.
Well, I mean, I don't know how that ties into our Ags of the Week. No, we're going back to the Mercedes-Benz. What's up with the Mercedes-Benz? Why are we talking about it again? It's been literally 12 months. It's been a year.
Has it been? It's been that long?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Well, it's because ESO1 Hamburg just happened. Hamburg? I'm going to need some help here. What's your guess? Hamburg?
Katowice.
When I was Googling for where the hell to watch the stream, because it's ESL, so it's Facebook, so it's impossible to find by just going to Twitch, because Twitch is not actually Facebook. I saw that there is a ESO1 Katowice 2019 on the schedule, so... get ready for your Emma editing. She's coming back.
I guess so.
Yeah, but it just finished Hamburg. And it was... the little bit I saw of it was very good. And what I've heard from all the talent, like on Twitter and just people on Reddit, is that the production was actually really nice. It's a shame nobody fucking sees it because it's on Facebook. But I guess they're locked in for another, year here?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, they had Weatherman Purge, which literally better than TI, because Purge wasn't at the main event of TI, which is unbelievable. They had Red Eyes, the host. It's like they had Slacks there doing content. Did you see any of the DHL-sponsored content?
I saw that it existed, but I have not checked it out.
They like put Slacks and his team in a DHL factory, and then they modeled, I guess in their warehouses, they have a little robot thing called like Effelbot, Effiebot or something, and it moves packages around. So they modeled that into a courier, and they made a little cinematic with a courier delivering smell salves or something. It was good. It was like well-produced, professionally produced. From what I saw, garbage. It was TI quality. I think Purge called it TI quality too. So high praise.
Hmm. I mean, didn't Slacks and Casey ride out on a donkey at TI?
That was TI in, yeah, I mean, 7. Like, okay.
I know, but that's TI. That, like, that TI, is quality TI quality is a certain level of. Yeah.
It's what we, in our minds, we hope every year that TI will be.
Yeah.
Unless you hate Slacks, which plenty of people do, but it's okay to be wrong.
Sure. Sure. Well, I made a reference to it earlier, but what's the deal with our Ags of the Week this week, Nick? I hear you have some ideas for us.
I do. I had this idea. I was inspired by Reddit. There was a situation. First, I think it was just a text post in which someone said, you know, this is the stupidest way we've lost and or won a game. A Zeus, you know, dropped his Ags to use his mana boots or a bottle or something, and he just didn't pick it back up. And so there was an invisible treant in the area, and he just kind of picked up the Ags. And so then later on, you know, a day, maybe two later, there was a GIF posted of said incident. Somebody went to the replay and found it. And it was an entertaining scene to watch. So that's my Ags of the Week, is that clip.
I see. So what if, okay, here's an idea, right? Ags of the Week. Mm-hmm. Treant, first ever person to get two Ags upgrades.
Oh.
But this one is circumstantial. If Treant gets an Aghanim's that they pick up from an enemy, mm-hmm. they can go plant it into an Aghanim's tree.
Ooh.
And the Aghanim's tree gives an Aghanim's upgrade in an aura to any friendlies within a space of it, within a distance.
That's pretty good. I like it. We need some more obscure mechanics back into Dota.
We really do. We really do. You know, Dota's getting too easy.
It really right? is.
Nick, But this is the first episode in a while where I've actually played some Dota.
Yeah, we played some Dota League a day or two ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we played some together. And, you know, we had a moment, right? Where this was the first game we played together. We were playing with a couple other friends. And we had our lanes planned out. And then we got in the game. And the one person who was a random was like, you know, basically it was like support switch positions, right? Mm-hmm. And, I was like, sure, okay. And our other support player, good friend, was like, what? Don't be ridiculous. We don't negotiate with terrorists. And I don't think there's ever been a more untrue thing said in a game of Dota. Because playing Dota with randoms, especially solo queue, is negotiating with terrorists. That is the game.
Yeah. That's how you gain MMR. I feel like, you know, conflict resolution people, they are probably automatically 7K. Just after the first game.
Right? Like, I mean, fucking, I think actually, after, like, when I have gone through, you know, when I'm in the ringer and I'm doing, like, constant solo queue as a support, which I haven't done in a while, but if you catch me in the middle of that, and you just, in the middle of that, like, unplug my headset, like, shove me onto a helicopter, and I had to go negotiate a hostage release, I would kill it.
That's actually how they train, you know, like the movies where the FBI puts some sort of secret puzzle or code thing onto the internet. I'm sure there's been a movie about that. That is actually Dota 2. That's how they recruit, you know, critical situation people who talk people down. There's a job title I'm searching for that's just not there. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's just a negotiator. Yeah. But, like, you have, like, this, like, wild-eyed guy with, like, you know, a gun pressed up against someone's head, and he's like, go mid, IAFK, go mid. And he's just pressing the gun harder and harder into his side of his head. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's Dota.
That's a very apt description of solo queue. I also, I would think I was going to solo queue once in the past few days, and I'm just like, what if I didn't and did literally anything else? And I think that was the better option for me.
Yeah. No, because, I mean, like, sometimes you do get a cooperative team of nice people, but it is really so much more common that at least one person will just take a my way or the highway approach, and you have to cater to them, or the game, like, the game's probably going to be miserable either way. It will be more miserable, and you are almost guaranteed to lose if you're just like, no, fuck you.
For me, it's more like the likelihood of winning, or like, how hard do you actually want to try to win? Do you want to have to babysit people and like be very adult and deal with the temper tantrums of people, which will increase your chances of winning in most games if you do that? Or do you just want to be like, fuck it, I'm muting this guy and like we're just gonna try to 4v5 here, and like, you know, that's like a turbo versus ranked.
I don't want to be mean, but with a little bit of distance from my amateur Dota career, there have been times where I've been on an amateur team with people where I was like, you know, I'm just gonna play along and you do your thing. If I was speaking my mind, this would go badly.
Speaking your mind is its own punishment.
Oh boy.
Yeah, but I was glad we got to play some Dota. It was fun.
And then the second game, we really got to negotiate with the terrorists.
Yeah. Also, I think this was the game I saw my first master tier, level 25 mastery sniper. And then immediately after, I think you left, there was a level 25 invoker. So I saw my first two master tiers this week.
Finally. Yeah, that's sniper, huh?
But we had a very special PA.
Drow, actually.
Drow, yes. The other blue dark hero.
Yeah, we had a drow that, like, okay, this is a situation I felt a little uncomfortable on voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing. When it comes to women in Dota, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt because it is a bad environment for them. It's a pretty misogynist environment, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, I will give them more leeway to be kind of shitty than normal people, because it's like, no, you probably just dealt with some misogynist piece of shit in your last game, and you just have some frustration to work off, and I get it. This community is not friendly to you, and, like, yeah. Go off. I think you've earned a little bit. But that
goodwill
wasn't this
was
one.
Immediately burnt through.
this lady was, like...
It started off, she was just kind of, like, being talkative at the start of the game. I'm like, oh, you know, that's a good sign, a teammate who's going to communicate. And it's different than, like, some guy who's just going to, like, flame immediately or is being immediately a shithead. Mm-hmm. It was different than that. I was like, okay, good. We have a communicative teammate. Maybe this will be a fun game. And then I think it was then where, you know, you said something, I said something. And then she's like, okay, that's great. I'll let you suck my toes. And I was like, you know, this isn't going great. And then she started to ask if, you know, if we liked hentai, and she was going to send us some great links. And then she started going off on other random things and kind of being shitty, just like, oh, wow, if you would have stuck there.
The part that really turned, there was a part where I just won, because we had a great argument where we were harassing and she was yelling at like, you can just right click. You don't need to waste any resources, just right click.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, okay, got it. And she was like, you're wasting spells, stop wasting spells. And I was like, I didn't use a spell. And she was like, I saw you use one just now. And I said, I literally haven't put a point in anything yet.
Yeah.
And then she was like, just kidding.
Just kidding.
Can't with you.
Everyone like, yeah, fucking right. Yeah. You literally had not, it was level one and nothing.
I just immediately went like a motherfucker. So
yeah.
I have a point hoarding problem.
They're my points. Use them when I need them.
So, I ended up muting her for about half the match just because it was too much. And then I came back and it was like, I don't know if coming back was the right call, but it was like,
well, it was because me and the other person we were playing with were like, making comments and I think talking to her, and I think she was stacked with our other player, the other rando, and it was just kind of entertaining, the things she was saying. So she wasn't being just actively, well, no, she was being actively a shithead, but I don't know, it was entertaining.
It's like, I mean, you know, honestly, it's like alcohol, right? Alcohol is poison. Mm-hmm. You are putting poison in your body, but it's a level of poison you can put up with, and the side effects can be entertaining. That's what this
extremely
was.
Accurate. Wow, good analogy.
It was like, okay, I think the level of garbage she's spewing is a level of garbage I can take, and it sounds just weird enough that I think I want
right
to hear it.
Down my alley. Yep.
Yeah, and we won that game.
We did. It was a long-ass game, I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, we won. I don't want to too much call out based on plays, but we won after we took a fight. They had two people up. I don't think they had buybacks, and we got two rapiers because Sniper had gone a rapier heavy build. And then Drow started farming the jungle, and it was like, we got, there's two of them alive and we have two rapiers. Can we just take some buildings? No. Okay. But we kept those rapiers and we won in the end.
Yeah. It was much harder than it had to be, but it ended up being entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. But, yeah, no, and, you know, like, this may be a weird statement. Those are the two games that I played. I played with the Wraith King, who was a terrorist,
mm-hmm.
And then I played with the Drow, who was, I'm just gonna say a lot.
Trashy.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's fair. Like, doesn't, like, listen, trashy can be an okay thing, right? Like, I like some trashy things.
Yeah.
But, like,
rude.
It was an experience.
Mannerless Twitch streamer shitlord.
Yeah, so there was so much of that. Like, there was the part, like, halfway through where she linked her, where I came back and I was like, hey, I muted you earlier. I feel like I was probably being a little too defensive. Let's have a fresh start. And she was like, yeah, you're right. I had a bad last game and I was kind of taking it out on you. And then she posted a link to her Twitch stream, and that's when we realized she was a Twitch streamer. And I was like this all makes so much sense now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I wish her the best. I would like it if her attitude got a little better, but I've certainly seen worse, and I don't know. Just you do you.
10 out of 10 on IGN.
Ah, boy. What an experience. So it may be weird after those two games, but I actually am excited to play more Dota. I actually, like, I walked away from that being like, you know, Dota's okay. It's fucking weird, but I don't really have anything else like it in my life.
Yep. This is quite unique.
But you played a lot more Dota than me.
I did. I've been playing a bunch this week. We played our first... Was it maybe? It might have been our first actual WLDL League game on Monday. That was good. Yeah, that's right. The first game was close, and then the second game, we just kind of outdrafted them, and they didn't have much. So they put up a fight, but it wasn't too hard the second game. But I think this week we might have a team who's been together well and is good. I can't remember. I can't remember the schedule, and I don't know how many games we have left before the playoffs. But it's been nice playing with, like, a casual five stack again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we had to play that game on Monday because Arian of the We Like Dota podcast, who's our captain technically for the WLDL, he got a press pass to ESL1 Hamburg for We Like Dota. So he has been in Hamburg at ESL1 as, like, a member of the press for We Like Dota. And he's gotten to interview, I think he might have interviewed no one and somebody else the first day, and then he talked to Knoxville yesterday and was just, like, doing stuff. So,
wow, yeah. Good on him.
Like, he messaged me like last weekend. It's like, you know, confidential because I hadn't released the podcast. And he's like, I'm going to ESO1 as press. I'm like, what?
I wonder, like, I feel like the few times I've tried to flex Scanline Media, it's actually worked, and so I don't. maybe I should try more? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he, like, applied months and months ago, and just, like, randomly they said, yes, you're accepted. It was a press pass.
Huh.
I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Oh. I mean, they won't have the captain's draft back in D.C., because apparently it wasn't actually very profitable. But if, you know, there was something around, I don't know. Maybe we should try.
I'm in Los Angeles. I'm sure I could get something. Yeah, that's
right. I'm sure there'll be something related. Stop by the BTS house, you know.
Again, I applied for a press pass to Arteezy's stream. Just show up in the back, and he'll be like, you have to take your shirt off. And I'll be like, this is weird, but okay.
Arteezy stream win. 7.20 win. The ship posts are ramping up for the next patch in terms of like the desperation where we get to just posting pictures of 7.20 written in weird ways.
And, you know, I wish I could be nicer about the Reddit this week, because it's just like, okay, if you're just posting pictures like that stuff, it's like, okay, I mean, that's not, like, good content, but it's fine. Who cares, right? I'm not going to chew anybody out for that. But our behavior has finally driven away one of the bastions of the community.
It wasn't our behavior specifically. But
I mean, not yours and mine. Basically,
Sir Belvedere officially announced that, like, oh yeah, I'm not doing the patches anymore. And he hasn't been doing it for a little bit here, but now he's like, yeah, for sure, I am done with this patch stuff. He just doesn't, well, he said he doesn't find it rewarding anymore, but he also specifically said that the artifact subreddit is garbage and he hates it. He just hates the artifact culture. So I don't think he necessarily badmouthed Dota 2 subreddit that I can remember.
I mean,
maybe I'm misreading.
I think part of it not being rewarding is that, like, it's just like, oh, there's, like, you know, a 5 kilobyte patch, and then, like, everyone's on Reddit being like, where is the flareless void? And just like, I feel like he's been taken for granted, and also just the community is generally, I'm not gonna say like it's not as ultra toxic as people paint it, but it's not a positive community. It's not a nice community. And I could imagine over time, as a person who has come to be accepted as like almost a service for the Dota community, I bet that would be fucking exhausting.
Yeah, I don't know, who knows. It's, you know, he's had quite a long run, so We appreciate all the flareless void 5 seconds after the patch comes out analyses posts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really, really grateful for all the work he did. And, you know, he's certainly earned a rest. I hope he can read other people's patch notes and be like, I would do this better than you would, to himself.
Yep.
And then tune into Bottle Crow like a good listener, like a good member of the Dota community. Listen, turn into an episode of Bottle Crow. But, you know.
That's probably what he's doing. You know, he's going to some sort of Caribbean cabana or some sort of German shit. What's the name of for a dwelling that starts with a G? I was going to do an alliteration here, but...
Gauss.
That's a unit of magnetism, but sure. Yeah, you know, he's sent back somewhere, lying in his hammock, drinking a beverage of choice and, you know, listening to a bad episode of Applesode, bad Applesode on his Apple device of a bad podcast.
Oh man, we have to do an Applesode now. You jinxed us. But Sir Belvedere, I hope you can hear me hold this up to the mic and shake it a little bit.
Oh, what is that?
That's a watermelon Rita.
That sounded disgusting, actually. Do it again.
Oh, okay.
It sounds really bad. I don't know why. Okay. Like, I can tell it's a tin can or something. It just sounds...
It's liquid sloshing around in an aluminum can.
It sounds too sloshy or too meaty.
Ugh. It's a watermelon Rita. I will pour it out for you. I can't do it right now because this is carpet. But later I'll go outside and I'll pour one out for you, buddy.
Oh, that's noble of you. You'll waste a whole, you know, 2 cents from that can of garbage.
It cost me $13 for an 8-pack plus California tax for cans.
Wow. Oh, that's right. You have the weird can tax, but you can return it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Try and force people to recycle. It doesn't work. But, you know, tax is tax.
Yeah. Tax is tax. Tax is here.
You know, Nick, I think you said something to me this week that I would like a shirt of.
Yes.
I was engaging in an argument with you where I was positing that a solution was simple when it was not. And you called me out by saying, just ward his jungle.
Yeah, you know? I can't remember what it was here. Something about a video game, I'm sure.
So we were talking very briefly about the PSN name going on, where there is some serious spaghetti code going on around what happens if you change your name, because they built that system so badly. And I was like, well, it's fine. Just don't change your name. Just have a good name, which is, of course, a shithead thing to say. And you replied, just word his jungle, which is really a perfect summation of the emotion of like, oh, yes, no, of course, there is a perfect solution that doesn't work.
Yep. Yeah, you know, just word his jungle is just it's a good thing to live your life by, right? Just accept that there's an easy solution, a general solution to every problem, and just do it and take no responsibility or try to, you know, improve your life otherwise. So I feel like we should, you know, get some t-shirts made that say just word is jungle.
Yeah. I remember playing a game, and listeners, you know my MMR by now. I'm 2.something, 2.7 probably, 2.6, whatever. And I remember playing a ranked game where the enemy team had a 7k anti-mage.
Ooh.
And I remember being told to just board his jungle and it would be fine. It was not.
It was not fine. Bum, bum, bum.
Actually, you want the really great moment. At one point, I warded his jungle, and I'd warded his jungle a little while ago, and then our fucking carry was like, okay, he's going to be right here. Let's go. And we smoked up, and we rotated in, and we ulted, and it was an illusion. And then he took a tower while we were doing that. We got destroyed.
It was not fine. Yeah. And yeah, we, you know, for when we go as pressed all these events, we have to have swag to hand out. So we'll just put the Bottle Crow on, you know, a background, and it'll just be just Warder's Jungle.
Yeah. No, I think I want to, if I could work out apparel, which I cannot, but.
Oh, you could work it. Work it, girl.
I have never in my life worked it, I'm afraid.
Not even once.
Not even once.
Not even a single time working. Zero trabajo.
Well, since we cannot work it, watch me, Nene. No, God.
I will not tee you up for Soldier Boy reference this episode. So help me God.
What about Donkey Kong? Can I go with Donkey Kong? No?
That's true. Sometimes I start the Donkey Kong, though. And then you actually know the rap, so you do the rest.
That's true. That's true. I had a good one this morning where I tricked some friends. Where I was like, oh, did you hear that Burger King is going to get into brunch? What? And they're like, no, wow, that's weird. And I was like, yeah, I mean, if you think about it, it makes sense. I mean, he's the leader of the brunch. You know him well.
You.
And they just, yeah. No, that's pretty much their reaction, too.
Fuck you. Especially because, you introduce this as some sort of, oh, it's a great trick I did. I was expecting some sort of good lead-in. You bring that shit.
BK. Wow.
Donkey
Burger
Kong.
King. BK.
He's finally back to curl some fries. No, that's Arby's. We have one more piece of news before we get back to the non-Dota stuff. PPD has started a more amateur Dota league. He had the, what was it, the FPL?
I remember that being a thing, but I don't.
Yeah, it was like an invite-only league, but it was mostly pros. It was just less formal or something. Now he announces. I have to think that he announced this somewhere else, but he announced in a YouTube video on his YouTube channel, which I didn't know he had. And this was released 3 days ago, and it has less than 3,000 views, that he's trying to get together just a sort of general amateur Dota league that has, like, small prize pools and stuff. I don't know. He talked about all the issues that, I don't know, everyone's heard, like, 1,000 times the issues with lower tier Dota not really being sustainable. Like, it's Dota feels very top heavy. And so he basically talked about those for 3 minutes and then said, hey, we're going to try to start a league. We need sponsors and stuff. But, oh, yeah, you can donate to the prize pools for this one. That's what was different about it. So,
I feel like it's aimed to be like this step between like AD2L and like top tier Dota, right? Which it does seem like, as you say, something we need. I don't know. I feel like I need to look into the logistics of this more, because I don't know, like, how do other territories do it? Does making this an NA-only solution make sense? I mean, obviously to start with, because just, you know, limitations of budget and organization. But, like, I don't know. I feel like this is probably a good thing. Can I say something shitty?
Please.
I am skeptical of the motivations of any organization run by PPD.
Why is that?
PPD is kind of a jerk.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily feel the same way, just because, like, well, I don't know. He's had experience as the quote unquote CEO of EG for a while. I don't know. I'm not particularly inspired or expect great things, but I'm sure he has some sort of skill or expertise to bring in terms of
esports business. He definitely has a mind for the esports business. I think one of the things he has that, like, has somewhat been frustrating when he's been a player, but is definitely an aid to, like, this sort of organization, is he's very much focused on, like, okay, I have an idea of how things are run. I'm not going to, like, basically, like, crowdsource decision-making, right? Yeah. That's a thing that happens a lot in like, Dota teams, is, like, okay, we have a leader, but also they're constantly asking everyone's opinion. PPD does not do that. PPD wants to hear your opinion a little bit between games. When the game is on, shut up, he's making the calls. And I think in, like, an executive structure, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. It's just a little thing I wanted to make note of, because I could definitely see us never talking or remembering that this thing was ever announced. Or maybe, you know, he'll have some mild success and lay a framework for it to continue or something, which would be cool.
Yeah. No, I hope it's a good thing for the scene. I want to see the scene bolstered. I want to see it healthily grow. I want to see teams, like, what would really be cool to me is seeing teams that have been, like, in 80-2L for ages and, like, kicking ass make the jump. That would be really neat.
Yeah.
I want there to be this, like, progression where it's like, oh, you know, like we in baseball, they have AA, AAA, and the major leagues. And I would love this idea of, like, okay, you start out in, like, 80-2L in that style league. And then once you've been stomping around that for a while, naturally you get, like, some invites to NADCL, and then you kick ass in NADCL, eventually you make your way up to you know, top tier, and then there's, like, this progression, and occasionally you do have instances like your Samales, where someone's just picked out of the crowd as a great player, but right now that feels like the bread and butter, where people will just be like fucking Topson, right, where it's just like, this guy's a great streamer, and that's cool for them, but I don't think it's a healthy model.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I've heard this talked about, we've talked about it, like, everyone's talked about this for so long, and there's not necessarily been a solution, not like there is necessarily a solution, but I don't know. I feel like this has been talked about a lot, and then I've at least become aware of nothing else that, like, tackles this at all, or, like, tries to, you know, make some money by creating a business that runs this kind of space, because all the big money is in the bigger events, but you need to have big megabucks to, you know, have a lot of capital to run a huge Dota event. You're at the whims of Valve and stuff, so I feel like, because, you know, this is a known problem, people have talked about it for a while, there is almost certainly some sort of space where a business like the one PPD is trying to start can thrive and make a name for themselves and create this separate structure.
Yeah. It's, I hope it's the good thing that it looks like it could be.
Brought to you by Peter Van Pandam, not Van Dam. Definitely. It's me, Peter Van Dam.
I almost gave the Jean-Claude Van Damme speech from Street Fighter, but I think I've probably already done that on a podcast, so I will let you go.
Wow. Thank you. Goodbye.
But we can all go home.
Yep.
Well,
class is dismissed.
I'm not going home. I'm going to get in my boat.
Oh, no. Let's quickly dive into this nearby bunker where we're housing our episode of Jackie's Chow.
What are we talking about this week?
Soda. Baking soda. How about it?
I've always been more of a fan of baking powder, though baking soda is... So, I actually need to get some baking soda right now.
Really?
Because I got some fresh strawberries from the farmer's market.
Right.
And I got a lot of them. And I got too many, because strawberries turn fast.
Yeah.
And now my fridge smells... like strawberries that have turned.
Ooh.
Which is not like terrible. Like it still smells like strawberries, but it's very strong. And it's got a little bit of a funk. And I need to buy some baking soda, open the box, and put it in the fridge. Because it's good at absorbing refrigerator smells.
Yeah. I think I've used it for that once or twice. I should probably use it more. I would probably just, keep the smells away for longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad idea. I mean, yeah. Why use baking powder when you can use baking soda and then just add the other things yourself? Because baking powder's, more convenient. So that's the reasons to use baking powder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't there something where, you just use pure baking soda to brush your teeth with? That was like the original toothpaste.
Yeah, baking soda and peroxide, I believe, is the combination.
Oh, yeah.
I actually still use Arm & Hammer baking soda and peroxide toothpaste. I do that because I hate the minty taste of toothpastes. I don't want it lingering in my mouth. I find the baking soda and peroxide flavor fades a lot faster.
Yeah, that's probably flavorless compared to the strong mint.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess I've technically had... flavor. Does it taste different than baking soda?
Yes, but not very.
Okay.
It's very similar, I would say.
A different texture, too, I'm sure.
Certainly. Because it's toothpaste.
Yeah.
So it's a paste.
Versus a powder. But not baking powder, a soda.
Mm-hmm. I want to give a big thank you to Great User Promoti for... Now, we were here to talk about drink sodas, like beverages.
Oh, okay.
Nick, do you drink soda very often?
If it's around, yeah. I don't often buy it for myself, but like if I'm at a social function or if I'm living somewhere where there is soda, like I'll have soda.
Okay, well, let's establish some baselines. Mm-hmm. You are a Pepsi coward, right?
Does that mean I like Pepsi?
Yes.
Does it mean like I prefer Pepsi to Coke?
Yes.
Probably. I don't really have Pepsi a lot or Coke a lot, but I think I would prefer
Pepsi.
Are you a
Royal Crown Cola individual? Is that your preference?
What the hell is that?
RC Cola.
What the hell is that?
Really?
What the hell is...
Well, it's like the third biggest cola brand. RC Cola.
RC Cola? Yeah, I've never heard of this. Royal Crown Cola market share. 4%. Okay.
Yeah, no, listen. Coke and Pepsi kind of eat everything.
It does have a market share of 18... Wait, no. It is an $18 billion soft drink market. Okay. So they have 4% of that.
Which is still, hundreds of millions. It's still pretty good.
Yeah.
But... So what is your poison... then, which is a term people usually reserve for alcohol, but
yeah, I like root beer. Root beer is pretty good.
Do you like just like A&W? Are you like an independent bottled root beers kind of person?
I feel like they're kind of different. Like a nice cold can of Barks root beer, that's pretty good.
Barks is the one that has caffeine of the major.
Wait, really?
Interesting. Because like A&W brand, and then the one I forget. But when I was when I was in dialysis, I had to learn some of these things.
Huh. Bark's caffeine content.
I think that's right. Or is it phosphorus? I forget. Maybe I'm mixing it up with phosphorus.
Yeah. 1.8 milligrams per fluid ounce. Wow.
Yeah, that's good stuff. As far as independent bottle, have you ever had the Goose Island root beer?
Isn't that the people who make the IPAs? Goose Island root beer?
It is, yes.
I don't think so. No, I see the bottle here. I have not.
I am going to highly recommend it. It is, I think, the best root beer I've ever had.
Oh.
It is extremely good.
Hmm.
It's great on its own. It makes great floats. It's just it's got a very nice, like, vanilla aftertaste. It's a very, very nice root beer.
Yeah, I mean, I like, you know, independent bottled, more like craft root beer stuff. Mm-hmm. That's good. I just don't have it very often.
And I've had, like, you know, I have had my share of root beers. I've had your Virgils and stuff. No, you gotta go with Goose Island.
Yeah. The other thing I'll occasionally have some sort of craving for is orange soda. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. The weird artificial orange flavor.
Okay, so like classic orange, like a Crush or like a
Fanta?
A Sunkist or a Fanta, sure. Yeah. Those are all the same, yeah. Because there is actually, like, you'll find independent bottled orange sodas, which are like orange sodas, which are like made with orange peel.
Oh, like, was that Orangina? Orangina?
Yes, like that. They're interesting, they're weird.
It's actually like orange versus... Mm-hmm. Whatever chemical they put in orange soda.
Do you have any pairing recommendations for specific drinks? Like, I like root beer with barbecue, and I like orange soda with Chinese food.
I was going to say orange soda with Chinese food. Maybe that's when I have the craving. Like, I've made some sort of heavier Asian-style dish. Like, I just made a version of noodle stir-fry for dinner tonight. And, like, an orange soda with that would have been good. It's something about... how the soda cuts the fat, or like the
cloying, it's got like a crispness to it,
hoisin sauce taste or something. Yeah, I don't know. So it, yeah, which is literally the same thing as wine does with like beef and, well, like fatty meats and stuff. You know.
So what you're saying is you should make beef stew with orange soda.
But how much of it would get cooked out, though?
That's a good question. I think most of the alcohol would be cooked off.
Most of the alcohol in orange soda would be cooked off. You're probably right in this case.
So hang on, alcohol is, this is like a fucking third grader question, right? Get ready for this.
Oh no.
Alcohol is just like fermented sugar, right? Could you ferment an orange soda to make alcohol?
No. Fermented is an overloaded verb, I think.
Okay.
In your mind.
That okay, good.
You're not necessarily
that seemed like a really dumb question.
Wrong. You're not necessarily... The fermentation occurs when yeast, probably other bacteria, but mostly yeast, different kinds of microorganisms we call yeast, eat the sugar, and then they excrete like CO2 and ethanol and a bunch of other stuff. So like technically it is ferment, like sugar ferments into alcohol, but there's a little more to it than that.
So you're saying if I got like a jar of Red Star... and poured it into my 2 liter of Crush and let it sit for like a couple, like a month or two.
It would do something. It would definitely become more alcoholic. I mean, you should probably try it. Me and Haru Dagu, who, you know, definitely wasn't on the last episode, we made mead together when we lived in Philly. And so I actually, in my closet right now, when I'm in Maryland, I have 5 gallons of mead fermenting in a bucket.
Do you use a different type of yeast, or do you just use, like, bread yeast?
You can use bread yeast, and, like, there's a lot of recipes that, you know, say you literally just put in water, honey, and, like, orange peels and crap. Well, water, honey, raisins, and yeast, like bread yeast, and it'll make a decent mead. So, like, you can literally do that. Went a little more sophisticated just because we've done it more. I think we might have used bread yeast one time. But I used, like, what the heck was it? Like a white wine yeast. The biggest thing is the alcohol tolerance of the yeast. Because, like, bread yeast, it's not supposed to live in that much alcohol, right? Like maybe in a sourdough starter, you'll have some alcohol, but like a bread isn't alcoholic, right?
Right, right.
Wine yeasts, beer yeasts need to survive in a more harsh alcoholic environment. So they have different ratings. So I got like a white wine yeast or something.
I'm really just obsessed with this idea of getting a bottle, a 2 liter bottle of Crush,
which is
a jar of Red Star Active Dry Yeast, soda. And a funnel.
Probiotic orange soda is the first result. God, I don't want to know what a probiotic orange soda.
So you're making like sun-kissed kombucha.
I guess you're right.
Oh God,
that sounds just. I'd rather eat baking soda.
Jackie's chow has taken a bad turn. I'm sorry.
It's turn.
Yeah. So as far as my favorite sodas, I like Coca-Cola. That's just a good classic. I feel like the benefit of Coca-Cola is I find it really hard to get tired of Coca-Cola.
Huh.
Like the flavor is, I feel like, specifically engineered so you could just have another and it's just like this solid flavor.
Probably.
But when you get to, like, the cherry sodas, I actually think Wild Cherry Pepsi is better than Cherry Coke.
I have not had a Wild Cherry Pepsi in many a year.
You should have one. They're good.
I guess. I'll have to find one. I like Vanilla Coke. I would honestly have Vanilla Coke over Coke every time.
I used to have Vanilla Coke, and these days I just don't have... I feel like I liked it when I was younger, and these days I don't enjoy it.
Yeah. You put away childish things.
Indeed. I think maybe it's just that I feel like the vanilla flavor isn't subtle enough.
Yeah.
Like a more subtle one.
You're just treat me better. A hardcore pure cokist.
I just love cocaine.
It's the best.
Dr. Pepper's all right. You know what doesn't get enough credit? The innovative geniuses over at Mountain Dew, right?
They never fail. So,
they came up with this drink called Mountain Dew and like fucking whatever, right? Yeah. Mountain Dew's whatever. I used to like it more than I do now. But then they were like, hang on. We have perpetual business strategy. John, you're our scout. Go out there and find sodas that don't have caffeine in them. Bring them back here and we'll put caffeine in them and sell them as our own thing. Orange soda? Oh, we made one of those with caffeine. It's called Livewire. Oh, grape soda? We made one of those. It's called Pitch Black. It's got caffeine in it. And they just do this for everything. They're geniuses.
Yeah. What would the equivalent be of, what is it, Code Red Mountain Dew? Is there a non-caffeinated Code Red Mountain Dew?
No. Code Red is like almost like a fruit punch.
You're probably right. It's probably just like caffeinated, even more sugary Kool-Aid.
Yeah, that's fairly accurate, I would say. Like, somewhere between, like, Kool-Aid and cough syrup, because it does have a bit of that edge to it. And just a little bit to add a little bit of depth,
yeah.
But it's definitely there.
It's like, how can we kill people faster with our drinks, based on what else is out there?
And you got Whiteout, which is, like, their answer to Squirt, basically?
Yeah, I think caffeine. I had Whiteout once, maybe. I had that ice one. I think you recommended me having Mountain Dew ice at one point.
Yeah, that's right. I think I recommended it in the context of having it with a strawberry to create my cocktail, The Ultimate Despair.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Sprite?
Yeah, that's caffeinated Sprite?
Yeah, Sprite or 7-Up, yeah.
Yeah.
No, they have a business model. It is working for them.
Just printing money.
The question is, what do they do when they run out of sodas that don't have caffeine in them? You start, gonna be like,
you have Mountain Dew too,
with caffeine.
You just put caffeine in Mountain Dew. Like they literally take cases of Mountain Dew and they just put more caffeine into it, and they call it Mountain Dew 2 or Mountain Dew squared or Dew 2.
Or do you just expand into?
Oh wait, hold drinks. On. Dew Dew, that's what they call it. Okay, continue.
That's your idea, Nick. But yep. Try this idea on for size.
Ooh, this fits right? Nice and snug in all the right places.
Carbonated coffee.
I feel like they already have that.
They probably do, but does it have a Mountain Dew label?
It doesn't have a Mountain Dew label on it. You know, it would probably taste better. Yeah, I feel like America's really behind in the not hot coffee technology market.
we really, you know, cold brew is blowing everyone's minds right now. And fucking, like, Japan is rolling their eyes because they've had that literally, for, like, 60
Suntory Boss. Like, they've had fucking Tommy Lee Jones doing their canned coffee commercials for, I don't know, decades. I don't, maybe
Here's the question. Why didn't Tommy Lee Jones tell us?
Right? Why didn't he bring over the good word? Is the people, like, over at Suntory paying him that well?
I think he's still an American citizen technically. Can we bring him in on treason charges?
At least until he gives us the secret behind Suntory Boss canned iced coffee.
I was playing Yakuza Kiwami 2 about a month ago, right?
Sure.
And these two members of this, in this fictional game, of the Yakuza were on a train going between cities, right? They were going to Kansai from Tokyo. And they were sitting there talking, and the camera was panning around, and the camera panned to the window and was looking out and just perfectly framed this can of Suntory Boss for like 30 unbroken seconds as they talked.
Yeah. It's pretty romanticized.
It really is. Yeah, you know?
We need more vending machines with better things in them. And I think canned coffee and canned caffeinated coffee could have a big place in our market.
It really could. Yep. Remember Coca-Cola Black?
No.
Oh, it's a 50... Like, they bottled this. It was a 50-50 mix of Coke and coffee.
What? That sounds like the ultimate despair.
It wasn't very good.
I kind of want to try
it. In my opinion.
And it's cool.
I think they still sell it in other countries. You might still be able to get it.
Coca-Cola Black. I mean, they made Coca-Cola Clear for, like, Japan or something?
I think it's black with, like, no C. It's like
B-L-A-K. Oh, it's B-L-A with a dash over it, K.
So it's block.
The mid-calorie? What? Yes, it's called a coffee-flavored soft drink on Wikipedia, but it's called a mid-calorie drink. I don't know what that means. Was first introduced in France and subsequently in other markets, including the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Lithuania, and Slovenia. And then in the United States in 06, Canada, later in 06, and then in 07, they discontinued the drink. Oh, that's great. Yeah, all the other versions were sweetened with sugar, but the ones sold in the U.S. were sweetened with high fructose corn syrup, aspartame, and acesulfame potassium.
No wonder ours sucked. Just give it sugar, you dumb assholes.
Come on, man.
Ugh.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I'm down to try it. I'll make my own Coca-Cola block. We'll have a block.
Okay, here's what you do. Here's what you do, right? You take your Keurig egg pod, you poke a little hole in it, right?
Yeah.
And you just pour an entire can of Coke over it, and some of it will get in there.
I was just refill, instead of the reservoir of water, just get a 2-liter bottle of Coke.
Ooh, now you're thinking.
And put it into the Keurig and brew the coffee with the... Honestly, if somebody, if like a listener has a Keurig they would like me to break by putting Coke through it, I'll do it. You don't have to do it. I will do it for you. Open offer.
Man. Wait, what if you did it with orange soda, though?
Oh, we need to have, like... Yeah,
with
I don't know. We need to have higher standards.
Oh, I can't do it. All right. Well, I feel like that's definitely an episode.
Yeah.
We should probably stop talking now.
We should.
Well, I want to give a big thank you to everyone for listening. If you want to share us with friends, you know, the RSS feed, you know, the website, please share that around. Help us grow. I feel like I'm really happy with where the podcast... I'll go ahead and say there was a time, like a month ago, where I was like, maybe we should end Bottle Crow. And I'm glad Nick talked me out of it, and I'm excited to be continuing to make this show. It's a good show. We have a good time around here.
Yeah, and we even talk about Dota sometimes.
Yeah.
Not too much.
On a podcast. So yeah, share it around, help us grow. I want to give a big thank you to Jeffrey Bryce, aka Pomodi, for use of the, you know what, Harmonies of New Bloom. Let's go back to Harmonies of New Bloom.
I've been missing
it. I think it's time.
You know?
I think it's time.
I like Rhythms of Rift Shadow Ruins, but something about Harmonies of New Bloom, it's classic.
It really is. And you can listen to it in-game in Dota 2 or purchase it for yourself if you don't already have it. It really is some great music.
You can set it as your ringtone. You can set it as your alarm tone. You could wake up to the respawn. Honestly, I should probably do that. That will get me very
tired. What is your current alarm music?
I'm gonna have to open my phone here and figure
it
out.
Go ahead. I can edit this out. It's
yeah,
fine.
Sure. Let's scroll up here. It is. Oh, it's very boring, actually.
Really? Oh, just the default? Really?
I guess. Well, I have a bunch of different alarms. Is the thing. Because I keep them all around.
What about your wake up alarm? That's the one that I'm counting.
I don't know. I have like a bunch of different ones for different times. Because at least the way the iPhone does it, you can like set an alarm for a time and then it keeps that alarm. So I have a lot of alarms for the different specific times I've set alarms. Probably like over 100 alarms. But like waking up, I guess it's the default one mixed in with other stuff.
Huh. I will play mine for you. I will may have to edit this to make it not sound as garbage because phone speakers and stuff.
But... of course.
That is the girl from Inkopolis from the Splatoon 2 soundtrack.
Ooh, that sounds pretty good. I have to say, one I have, I just found this one.
And if you need a commission of the Long, Long Man, I suggest you talk to Ashley Ryan, a.k.a. Sfimmy, who did our podcast art within a very nice commission of the Bottle with Crow and Dagon. I'm sure she's able to handle your Long, Long Man.
It takes a delicate touch.
Don't take that out. Listen, don't make this.
No.
Nice lady.
Just end it.
Nice
Cut
lady.
It off.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and peace out.